The Bible said in verse 1 of chapter number 26, I have a lot of ground to cover this morning. And I want to try to be mindful of the time. And the Bible said then Agrippa, in verse number 1 of chapter 26, he said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. He said this, he said, I think myself happy. That's my text for this morning. I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore, I beseech thee to hear me patiently. Notice verse 4. He said, my manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you today for the privilege to read this text. I pray, God, today that this message, Lord, would be an encouragement to our hearts. Father, we pray today, Lord, that you would speak to the hearts of that individual, Lord, that, Lord, has never been saved by the grace of God. I pray, Lord, you'd speak to the heart of the redeemed, our Father, and help us, our Lord, that like the Apostle Paul, we may think ourselves happy. Lord, we know today that, Lord, we have a new year in front of us. And God, there's absolutely no reason for it not to be a wonderful and a blessed and a happy new year. I pray, Father, now that you'll bless the message, bless the messenger, bless those who will hear the message. And God will give you glory for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Just by way of introduction this morning, I'd like to go back into chapter 24 and 25 for just a minute. Look at chapter 24 and verse number 2. Then when he was called forth, the Bible said Tertullus began to accuse him. Now look in verse number 8. The Bible said, commanding his accusers to come unto thee, by examining of whom thyself thou take knowledge of all these things whereof we accuse him. Here's a man that's standing and being accused. And if you will read chapter 24 and chapter number 25 and chapter number 26, you will understand that he is being falsely accused. And yet he stands in the midst of this accusation that's coming, my friend, from his countrymen, that's coming from the Jews. My friend, it's not the Gentiles that are giving Paul a fit here. It's the Jews. It's the high priest. It's those, my friend, that hated the Lord Jesus Christ. Those that hated the gospel of God. And those that hated to see their power waning in that day and in that hour. So he's being accused over and over. The Bible said in verse number 13 of chapter 24, neither can they prove the things whereof they accuse me. And the Bible is just going on and on talking about this accusation. But it gets a little stronger in verse number 25. They're never content just to accuse. How many remembers that's how they started with Jesus? They started by accusing him. But my friend, they didn't want to just accuse him. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to nail him to an old rugged cross. Amen. And the word of God said in verse 3 of chapter 25, and they desired favor against him, that he would send for him to Jerusalem, lying wait in the way to kill him. I tell you, this hatred is beyond any hatred probably that anybody in this room has ever known. The hatred for the gospel, the hatred for the man of God, the hatred for the Lord Jesus Christ, and they want to kill him, amen? And standing right in the midst of this is a man of God that's got the Holy Ghost living in him, amen? And he stands up and said, I think myself happy. I say, glory to God, if you can be happy in the midst of all that, amen? We ought to be happy as God's people in this generation that we live in. We're living on the threshold of the coming of the Son of God, amen? And we ought to be able to just stand in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the trial. You say, preacher, who are you preaching to? I'll tell you who. I'm preaching to myself. We ought to be able to stand in the midst of the storm and say, I think myself happy, amen? Right in the midst of it all, Paul being falsely accused, Paul knowing that they were lying in wait to kill him. The Bible said in verse 5 of chapter 25, let them therefore, said he, which among you are able, go down with me and accuse this man, if there be any wickedness in him. The Bible said in verse 7 that they laid many grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. What about that? Amen. And the Bible said, let me give you something here. The Bible said here, as he said, I appeal to Caesar in verse number 11, and we know that's going to shape the rest of the book of Acts. He's going to end up over there. But I want to give you something, my friend, that blessed my heart. If you look in verse number 2, he said, I think myself happy, King Agrippa. And he said this, because I shall answer for myself. What I didn't realize was, if you go back over into these other chapters and look at verse number 10 of chapter 24, Paul said in the last part of that verse, he said, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself. Do you see that right there? The Bible is talking about Paul that's going to be willing to stand, amen, and answer. Look at verse 8 of chapter 25. The Bible said, while he answered for himself. You say, preacher, I don't know why you pointed all that out. I'll tell you why. Because you and I are going to answer for ourselves. Ain't nobody else going to answer for us, amen? We're going to answer for ourselves, amen, in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the false accusation, in the midst of the attack of Satan, amen? We're going to answer for ourselves. The Bible said this, said, let every man be ready to give an answer. To him that asketh the reason of the hope that lieth in you. Brother Brian touched on it in chapter 1 of the book of Romans. Paul said, listen, I'm a debtor. But he didn't stop there. He said, I'm ready. I'm ready, amen, to give an answer. I'm ready to preach the gospel to them that are wrong. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, Paul, I was in a home yesterday. I think, Brother Amos, it's on your refrigerator. Something about opportunities, obstacles
turning them into opportunities. Paul had a big old obstacle right here, and he turned it into an opportunity to witness to the king and everybody that was standing around. He said, "Preacher, how come?" Because my friend, he didn't have the molly grubs. My friend, he wasn't God for where he was at, amen. But he was thanking God for an opportunity to take a stand for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll say this to you this morning, I'll move on. Our testimony will mean a whole lot more coming out of the valley than it ever meant coming off the mountaintop. Anybody can, my friend, brag on God when you're on the mountaintop. What about when we're in the valley? What about when we're falsely accused? What about like Job when everything's going wrong and your children have died and your farm is burned up and your fortune is gone? Can we still say the Lord gives and the Lord takes away? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, friend of mine, Paul said, I think myself happy. He said, "Preacher, where's this message going?" Well, we're at the first of the year, and we've heard it, and we've heard it, and we've heard it. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. And I'm going to tell you something right now. If we'll get a hold of this, and this will get a hold of us, we'll have a Happy New Year. I'll guarantee it. Amen. Let's look at it here together. I'm going to give you five things concerning the life of the Apostle Paul here this morning. I'm telling you, this is such a wonderful. I hope you'll read chapter 24 and 25 and 26, maybe this afternoon, in its entirety. I've got stuff underlined everywhere. Amen. If I was to go to preaching all this, we'd be here midnight tonight. Amen. It's a blessing. It's a blessed book. But I want to give you five things, my friend, that helped Paul. He said, I think myself happy. By the way, the Bible did say I didn't take the time to write down the reference. I believe it's in the book of Proverbs. I'm not sure about that, but I believe it is. It says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. What's down in there will come out of there. It'll come out. Amen. And I'll tell you, what's fixing to come out of the mouth of the Apostle Paul is not just a mouth. Amen. It's not just words, but it's coming from a heart that's welled up inside. Amen. With glory and praise for Almighty God. Let's look at Paul here for just a minute. Let me give you three or five things this morning. Amen. And we'll get out of the way. I think myself happy. Number one, I want to say this. Paul was contrary. Paul was contrary. You say, preacher, how can a man that was contrary think himself happy? Let me give you something. Now listen to me this morning. I don't think we ought to dwell on our past. I don't think we should. But I tell you what I believe. I don't believe we ever ought to ever forget where God brought us from. Amen. Look what the Bible said right here. Paul said, he said, I verily thought with myself in verse number 9 that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I'll say this morning. Don't matter how old you are when you got saved. I'm telling you, there was a time in your life and a time in my life when we were walking contrary to the Lord Jesus Christ. We were sinners. We were hell-bound sinners. And I believe with all of my heart, one of the reasons folk aren't happy, they think they deserve to be saved. Sitting where they're sitting, and we ought to always remember what we deserve is where we were standing when we were lost without God and without His Son. Oh, beloved friend, Paul was contrary. You know what I believe? Listen to me carefully. I believe every Christian fights this to some degree. I believe if we're not careful, we'll get our old nose in the air, get our old chest stuck out, and we'll forget where we were when He found us. I went to the hospital a while back to visit with a family. I'm telling you, I don't believe there was one in that family that didn't have a hole in their nose or a hole in their ear or a hole in their eyebrow. But I tell you what God's able to do. He's able to knock a hole in their heart and move the Lord Jesus right in there. Are you listening to me? You say, preacher, why don't you just accuse them people? Because, listen, that's what I used to be. God got me out of that mess. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. You go down to the prison, brother. That's the grace of God. You're not visiting Brother Vinoy in behind those prison bars. Amen. I want you to know this morning, Paul, whenever he preached, he never forgot what he was doing on the road to Damascus when God found him and met him there. Amen. He was contrary. I've met Christians. I've rode up and down the road with preachers that act like they wasn't ever contrary. Say amen right there. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me. I love you. But every one of us, since we've been saved, been contrary to. Help me right there. Amen. I tell you, my friend, listen, we weren't just contrary when we were sinners. There's times in our life when we get sideways with God after we get saved by the grace of God. Everybody in this room hasn't walked with God every day since you got saved. Some people have a testimony where they got away and they haven't forgotten it. But the God of all grace, amen, my friend, his arm could reach farther than they could run, and he brought them back to the place of blessing. Paul was contrary, number one. Paul was contrary. I think about my life. I tell you, not the least deserving man on the face of the planet is standing in front of you this morning. I'm telling you, I walk so contrary. I think about Brother Rose, the day my daddy taught me. He said, son, you don't use God's name in vain. I can remember a day in my life, my friend, when I was young, when somebody could use God's name in vain and it would make cold chills run over me. Then I can remember well. I can remember when you get up in high school and all of a sudden it's in the locker room and it's on the ball field and all of a sudden there ain't that much wrong with it anymore. It don't make cold chills run over you anymore. I can remember going to work and working in steel and getting those balls of fire in your pocket or in your boot or dropping a piece of steel on your toe. I can remember that blasphemy coming out of my mouth. No longer was not only not chilled, not only was I hardened to it, but now I'm guilty of it. You say, preacher, why don't you want to forget that? I make myself happy. I know who brought me out of that mess. I know who saved me by his grace. Paul was contrary. Paul was contrary. I could preach a while right there, but that's good enough. If you don't remember yourself being contrary, you might not even be saved. Because I tell you what you got to do. You got to get good and lost if you're going to get good and saved. Say amen. Contrary. Contrary. You know what I love about the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit, he can take somebody that's 10 years old. All they done was lie to mama. And he can make them see themselves just as contrary as somebody's been a drunkard for 50 years. I tell you, contrary is contrary. Amen. When God throws the book at you and says you're guilty of breaking my law, my friend, you're not guilty of breaking one or a half of one. You're guilty of breaking the whole law. Contrary. Contrary. Paul was contrary. Number two, you'll like this. Paul was converted. Watch what the Bible said in verse number 13. The Bible said at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven. Now listen to me. Listen to me carefully right here. This is how the Lord spoke to my heart. Why did God have to give us the time? I believe there's something important here. And I think it'll be a blessing to you. I hope it will. God wanted us to know that there's a sun brighter than the sun. You'll get that after a while. I'll catch you down at the red light. Amen. There's a sun brighter than the sun. At midday, I'm telling you, the sun, the S-U-N is shining. But I tell you, the S-O-N showed up on that road. Amen. And a great light shone round about him. I tell you, thank God, thank God, thank God for the conversion of the Apostle Paul. He was changed in a moment of time. The Lord, my friend, saved him on the road to Damascus. The Bible said here, there was a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. I heard a voice speaking unto me. I'm going to tell you something right now. When God saved me, I didn't hear a voice audibly, but I sure did hear a voice in my spirit. How many knows what I'm talking about? I'm telling you, I wrestled and I wrestled that night. I wrestled. I had been a church member for 6.5 years and I wrestled and I wrestled. The devil would say, what are they going to think? What are they going to say? He said, they'll throw you out of here. He said, they'll laugh at you. How many knows what the devil is? He is a liar and the father of a lie. I tell you, that night at that invitation, the Holy Ghost said, it's get saved or go to hell. It's come to Jesus or leave here and go to hell. I thank God. God gave me enough grace to trust Jesus that night. And I found out the devil's a liar and the father of a lie. Oh, beloved friend, Paul was not just contrary, but Paul was converted. If you look at the word converted, it means changed. I'm going to say something this morning. It's not popular to preach like this in this hour, but it's the truth. If there's no change in an individual's life, you can tell me to you're blue in the face, but I'm going to tell you there's no Christ in an individual's life. The Bible said if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. You say, preacher, what happens if a man gets saved and then he gets contrary? I'll tell you this much. If he gets genuinely saved, he's in for a chastening from his father. How many's with me right there? And the Bible said if we're without chastisement, we're bastards and not sons. That just means we're illegitimate. We've never really been born in the family of God. Oh, beloved friend, when we get saved, there will be a conversion. There was a change. I'll guarantee you that if you ask the Apostle Paul, he'd say, no, I was not perfect after the Damascus Road. But he would say, I was different. Different. Changed. 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 Oh, beloved friend, Paul was contrary. Paul was converted. He heard him speaking unto me in the Hebrew tongue. I think that's important. He said, preacher, why do you think that's important? I'll just give it to you how the Lord spoke to my heart about it. The Lord spoke to him, Brother Gale, in a way he could understand it. I'll tell you something right now. When the Lord speaks to your heart, you won't need an interpreter. You'll be able to understand what he's saying. I'll guarantee you that right now. That doesn't matter if it's a child or if it's a teenager or if it's a young adult or if it's a senior citizen. I'll tell you, when the Holy Ghost of the living God speaks to your heart, he'll speak in a language that you understand. That you understand. Let me just go ahead and give you this. While it's on my heart, he will never speak contrary to this book. That's one of the ways you can know it's him. When it lines up with the book, it's him. If it doesn't line up with the book, it might just be a bad dream. It might just be soup beans. Amen. But I tell you, if it lines up with the book, amen, you can mark her down, better pay attention. It's God speaking to your heart. There's Paul was contrary, but Paul was converted. And he said, who art thou, Lord? In verse number 15, and he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. If you read the book of Acts, where Paul was converted, Paul asked another question. He said, who art thou, Lord? And then the next question is, what would you have me to do? Listen to me carefully right here. Listen, I'm not fussing, I'm not picking. But it is as natural, and it's actually supernatural, but it's natural for the child of God that gets converted to want to do the will of God for his life. To feel like he owes his father a debt. That, Lord, my life is not my own. I've been bought with a price. I want to glorify you in my heart and in my life and in my actions and in my family. I want to do all that I do now to the glory of God. Paul was contrary. Paul was converted. Look at verse number 16. Paul was called. He said, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. Let me give you something. We're going to see this again. Let me come on down here just a minute. Look at this here. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles. This blessed my heart. Look at verse 23. That Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people. Notice this. And to the Gentiles. Listen to me this morning. Listen to me. We were not even considered a people. Are you listening to me? We were dogs. God came to the dogs. God sent Paul to the dogs. God called him to the Gentiles. He would talk about a people and the Gentiles. There's a reason he does that. The Bible said that we were one time not a people, but we're now the people of God. That blesses me. That ought to cause us, my friend, to shout glory to God that he come along and took my friend the Gentile and grafted it in to that olive tree. Are you listening to me? And gave us a place in the family of God. That ought to cause us to think ourselves happy. Think ourselves happy. Glory to God. We was contrary. Paul was converted, but Paul was called. Watch verse number 18. He said to open their eyes and to turn them from light or darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them at Damascus and all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Then you come along, I guess it was along about the middle of the 1980s, not long before I was saved. And then right after I was saved, you get a bunch of Baptists arguing over whether repentance is necessary to salvation. I'm going to tell you something right now. Paul preached it. Amen. Jesus preached it. And it's still necessary. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Repentance is a Bible doctrine. It's not a work that man can do. Repentance is something that God must grant, just like faith. It's a gift of God. Oh, beloved friend, Paul was called. But let me give you this. I could preach on any of these a long time. I would love to, but I want to get to this thing here, the last thing in a moment. Look, number four at this. Paul would continue. Watch this now. May God speak to our hearts right here. Having therefore obtained the help of God, in verse 22, he said, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to the small and the great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. You say, preacher, what's Paul saying? Paul's saying, hey, I ain't got nothing to tell them except what God said in his word. Now watch this. You say, preacher, why did you magnify this? Well, Paul was contrary. Paul was converted. Paul was called. But let me tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. There are some men that are contrary, and then they're converted, and then they're called. Listen to me carefully. But they don't continue. How many knows I'm telling it right? I'm talking about men of God that used to stand. I'm talking about Sunday school teachers that used to stand. I'm talking about soul winners that used to knock on doors. I'm telling you, my friend, there's a lot of people that start and start and start, and they even start right, but they do not continue. And you say, preacher, you ain't got no Bible for that. Yeah, I do. They're saved so as by fire. Read it. They stand before the judgment seat of Christ and their works. They're not being judged for their sin at the judgment seat of Christ. My friend, that was taken care of at Calvary. But they're being judged for their service. And my friend, listen. They did not continue. And so their reward is burned up. It's like wood and hay and stubble. But oh, I tell you, if you put that gold and silver and precious stone into the fire, all it does is come out purer on the other side of the fire. I said Paul was contrary. I said Paul was converted. The Bible said that. The Bible tells us that Paul was called. But thank God the Bible tells us that Paul would continue. Brother Brian, I thought I was going to leave you this little nugget for next Sunday to tell him, but I can't stand it. I can't stand it. Brother Brian talked about the gospel in Sunday school, how it's dynamite. That's the truth. That's the truth. You go over there, it's the power of God unto salvation. I believe it comes from a word, dynamos or something like that. But anyway, it is dynamite. While he was teaching this morning, I was thinking about this. My brother was digging a water line at the post office in Glade Spring, Virginia. He dug down in there, dug down. They had to saw the asphalt. They dug down in there. How many want to guess what he hit? He hit a rock. And I mean, Ethel, a rock. Amen, a big rock. And he couldn't dig through that rock with his backhoe. His backhoe would just scratch at it. Would not break it up. You could not use the dynamite like that you use out here on the road over on 26 where they'd stop the traffic and blow the rocks out in the road and scoop them up. Can't use that. Blow the whole post office up. Amen. You blow the wanted pictures up. Amen. He couldn't use that. And so he got to inquiring around and he found out you could go rent a air compressor, one of them big ones, and a drill, a hammer drill. And you ride that thing kind of like a jackhammer. You just drill a hole in the rock. You just drill another hole. You have to, they give you instructions with this material. It has to be in certain sequence. The holes have to be drilled a certain way, a certain distance apart. And so my brother, he drilled that rock full of holes. Now the drilling process, it goes pretty good if you got the right equipment. And then what you do is you mix this stuff up. It's liquid. It's in a liquid form. And you pour it in those holes. And then you just throw the dirt back over the ditch. And you come back the next morning and take your backhoe, that rock that could not be moved. You scoop it out like gravels. In the process of time, that stuff down in them holes swells and just breaks that rock up, and it's just nothing but gravels. You just reach down in there and scoop it up out of that ditch, lay it over there, put your water line in, put you some sand in around it, amen, something soft in around it, throw the rock back in on it, patch the asphalt and go on. You say, preacher, what's that got to do with this? I'll guarantee you that there was some that the Apostle Paul witnessed to that got saved right then, right there, and were happy, my friend, to be saved. But the Word of God said, I continue to this day. He just went on and on, witnessing both to the small and the great. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say sometimes it is like dynamite. God will let us see it right there in front of us. But sometimes you're just drilling another hole, dumping a little gospel in it. And my friend, listen to me. That gospel will swell and it'll break that hardened heart. Are you listening? I'm telling you, people can look at you and they can smirk and they can mock. But when the lights go out at night and the TV's turned off, God, the Holy Ghost will take the gospel and work down in their hearts. Work in their lives. Say, preacher, what are you trying to say? We need to continue. We need to continue. We need to continue sowing the seed. We need to continue in prayer. We need to continue to be faithful. We need to continue to witness both to the small and the great. Amen. Paul would continue. Watch this now. Go over here to the end of the chapter. The Bible said, when they were gone aside, in verse 31, they talked between themselves, saying, this man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. Paul would continue, and Paul would continue. You even come down in the text, it's a very familiar text, a very wonderful text, where Agrippa said, Paul, almost persuadest thou me to be a Christian. Agrippa knew. How many knows that people know they're hearing truth when they're hearing truth? You can deny it all you want to, but if somebody's sharing the truth with you, the Holy Ghost will let you know it's a truth. It's a truth. Agrippa knew it. Paul said, I would to God, Agrippa, not only you, but all them that hear me were not almost, but altogether such as I am, accept these bonds. Paul would continue. Paul would continue. Wouldn't it be wonderful? I don't know that we have scripture one way or the other. Wouldn't it be wonderful, Brother Brian, to get to heaven? And Agrippa be there. Find out that Paul drilled that hole and Paul dropped that gospel down and it just kept swelling on him and swelling on him. Because the Bible said when he came, you can read it over, he came with great pomp. He was full of pride. Let me tell you something right now. Ain't nobody full of pride ever got saved. God will kick that pride out the door. I tell you what's the truth, my friend. You'll let go of that pride or you won't get saved. You'll have to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. It'd be wonderful. I don't know if Agrippa got saved or not. The Bible don't record it. But I tell you, it tickled me to death, wouldn't it, you, to meet old King Agrippa and see that he was not almost, but he got in that altogether crowd. Amen. Let me give you this, and I'm done. Paul was not only contrary. How many remember when you was contrary? Paul was not only converted. How many remember when you was converted? Paul was not only called, but Paul would continue. You say, preacher, what's the last thing? Turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 4, please. I'm telling you, a man that is contrary, that is converted, that will be called and answer the call, whatever God wants him to do, and continue, that man will be crowned one day after a while. You say, preacher, what's the Bible say about it? Look with me in 2 Timothy, please, chapter number 4. And I'm finished right here. I say this morning, it's no wonder that Paul could stand in the middle of this mess and say, I think myself happy. Amen. Amen. I think myself happy. Be glad to tell you about it, King Agrippa. Watch in verse number 7 of chapter number 4 in the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 4, 7. And I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I preached a message at the Preacher's Fellowship last month. How many of you all know Brother Gene Lastly? Anybody know Brother Gene? He's a precious man of God. He's been faithful. Brother Larry, I preached a message. And Brother Gene, he met me at the altar in tears. We were fellowshipping around the altar after that we prayed. Here's what Brother Gene said. And I don't know how old he is. I know he's older than I am. He's getting up in years. Brother Gene said, preacher, he said, I want to finish right. At his age, and with what God has allowed him to accomplish, Brother Grizzle, with tears, he still said, I want to finish right. I say this morning, there is nothing wrong with wanting to finish right. My grandbabies won't remember how Papa started. But they will remember how Papa finishes. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. But he didn't stop there. He said, henceforth, because of that, because I was contrary, but I was converted, and I was called, and I did continue. Now, there's a crown laid up for me. A crown of righteousness. You say, what kind of a selfish preacher was Paul? He wasn't selfish. He had done red over there, my friend. Listen, God's people are not going to wear that crown and strut like a peacock in heaven, but we're going to lay them at the blessed feet of the Son of God. And he wanted his crown. He didn't want to be empty-handed. He wanted to be able to cry with the redeemed, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me. Now, wait a minute. Y'all, you say, that's that preacher. That's that missionary to the Gentiles. Good night. Everybody knows he's going to have a reward. He said, henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord shall give me at that day. How many's with me? Not to me only. That's what Paul said. He said, hey, it ain't just about me. He said, not to me only, brother. He said, but to all them who love his appearing. Amen. Glory to God. You can take what you want to out of that, but I think he's speaking to me in this generation. Jesus is fixing to come. And God wants us to finish. Finish. And finish well. No wonder. How many knows Paul carried a great burden for the Jews? Read Romans chapter number 9, I believe. He said, I could wish myself accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Let me tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully right here. You know who has the ability to hurt you the most? It's who you love the most. Brother Rose, he's hurting while they falsely accuse him. And all he's doing is preaching what Moses and the prophets said. Amen. He should come. How that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the scripture. He's hurting. He's grieved. But he said, I think myself happy. Whew. God only knows what this preacher will face this year. God only knows what this church will face this year. God only knows what your family will face this year. I sat there and wept watching the news. Brother Travis says, that family was on the news burying that one-year-old baby with the flu. That died with the flu. You say, preacher, you wept over, yeah. And I thought this, Brother Grizzle, that could be little Olivia. That could be that beautiful little girl that God just gave my daughter. You say, preacher, it's not healthy to think like that. I think it is. I think we should thank God for our health, but I think we should pray for those that are in any trouble. Amen. Amen. And long for the day when there'll be no more trouble. There'll be no more news flash. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more pain. For the former things are passed away. He said, behold, boy, this is a good verse. I make all things new. Paul said, I think myself happy. I think myself happy. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you tonight, this morning, Lord, for the privilege. The privilege, God, to preach, the privilege to read the Bible, the privilege, Lord, to walk with you, the privilege to talk to you. Lord, it's my prayer. God, I know there's some families here this morning, Lord, that have been through the storm. Some are still in the storm. God, would you help us to think ourselves happy? When we think about where you brought us from, when we think about how you changed our life, when we think about where you're taking us to, God, I pray we could think ourselves happy. Lord, I know that we're so blessed. Sometimes, Lord, we're not sensitive enough to your blessing. I pray, God, today you'd help us to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Lord, that heart that you're fingering around right now that's unsaved, I pray, God, that you just continue, Lord, to drill that hole. Is not thy word like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Lord, continue to chisel. Continue, Lord, that the gospel one day might explode in that heart. Swell up, Lord, into life everlasting. Father, I pray this morning that you would speak to the hearts of the individuals that are going through the trials. Help them, God, this day to think themselves happy.